listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 18th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here, as always.
Well, as always, glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live. We appreciate contributions, love the chat, and thanks to those catching up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, before we get into our nine principles, as we just talked about the institutions, I want to throw out there for people that catch up with us in the archives and want to join. We do broadcast over a program called Mixlr, but if you go to metaphysicalhumanism.org, you will actually be able to find the live link to our page, and we love to have you. I'm going to be a better millennial. I'm going to start sending that link out in Facebook and our private group, both the Spirit of Life group and the wider One Planet community. All right, so after that business, we're going to get to our nine abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, you know, as often happens, Dr. Vicki and I were having a great conversation that really should have been on air prior to, you know, us starting the live part. And it was a great idea you had, Dr. Vicki, talking about destiny and futures and, you know, possibilities. And so I think you had volunteered to do a speech for about, you know, 25, 30 minutes, so go right ahead, take it off.
You smart dog. We were talking about a topic for tonight, and Michael did have a topic. Yeah. But we randomly got into this discussion about what is destiny and fate versus our intervention. And to give you an example, I'll just tell you, there had been this really rather tragic, it was seriously tragic, car accident.
Yeah, it was.
A few hours from me where young parents, 2-year-old, 8-day-old baby in a car made the wrong turn, got smacked by a truck, and only the 2-year-old survived. And my question is like, whoa, that's huge. And especially, I think, an 8-day-old child, the soul comes to the earth and then zips out. Now, is it something where that soul of that child planned to only be here for a short minute? You know, if they wouldn't have, you know, exited via, you know, this traffic accident, would they have exited through some disease, disorder, you know, malfunction in some other way? And of course, you know, Michael also had an opinion that I want him to inject here in a second. But that got us into this discussion about, I used to be able to see people's expiry dates clearer. And over the last 30, 50 years, it's difficult because, you know, we can do heart transplants. We can do all right. kinds of medical intervention that extends that so-called expiry date. So,
well, hoping to extend mine for a while.
Well, you don't need a transplant. You're good. You see, but then you stop and think. The average lifespan years ago was a certain amount. We've extended that. And I often say, if you've even been on antibiotics, you've extended your life.
Oh, for sure.
Very likely.
But you...
So what is that about a soul that comes into a body? Do they make a plan? Is there this esoteric universal plan of expression and how long they'll be here? And look, this is just a discussion.
Right.
I don't have any answers. My Vikings, of the old Vikings, you know, the fearlessness of death is because, you know, the mark of death and birth and death is marked. So
yeah.
If we're going to Valhalla, let it be today.
Right. Well, and that's probably also a nice cover for all those poor folk in the village. That's their time. It's not our fault. It's axe wing, axe
exactly.
wing. It's their time. It's just God's will. Axe wing, axe wing. But go ahead.
Yeah. But you had an interesting thought on soul entry, Michael. I'd like you to share that.
Well, it's
interesting.
Not. Well, I appreciate it. I'm pretty sure it's not original. I picked it up somewhere along the line, but it's the idea that you're not really born with a soul as much as you grow one through experience and consciousness and awareness. And I think that's just something I've thought about for a long time, that when it comes to being self-aware, I think it's the ability to comprehend and compute the, you know, the world around us and to understand ourselves as part of it. I've thought about it in a few different varieties of ways, but, you know, you can adapt that to all kinds of things about applying what we would define as a soul to maybe artificial intelligence and things like that too, but which, you know, I think it's always an interesting idea that a soul is grown through experience and through, you know, maybe even a little suffering, a little joy, a little mix of what's possible in life. You grow it in depth and you grow in understanding, and there's always a kind of a, you know, an age there. I think it's also interesting about people that have old souls, kind of maybe lends itself to the idea of reincarnation. But, and I also think, you know, well, how does that relate to things like reincarnation? But almost, so many rabbit holes you can go down with that idea.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting take on it. And the growing of the soul, I think it's just expanded consciousness of that soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Zach is saying he read something one time about, you know, something like that with animal souls. When humans bring them into the household, their soul develops or something like that. And again, I guess this is what comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know,
right?
This is a real existential conversation. I think we talked about this many weeks ago about, you know, AIs and building consciousness through, you know, artificial intelligence. And, you know, Tabitha's just said, plus we'll all soon have surrogate avatar bodies, so we'll live for a long time. So, it's so many things are possible. I'm of the consideration, and that's, you know, settles with me, is that, you know, we're all part of this huge universal energy, but there are, you know, it's kind of like, think of it as cells.
Right.
You know, cells in the universe, and each cell, although it's connected with everything else, can formulate that spirit or that soul that connects with a thread, you know, to a fetus. And I don't think that it fully houses in the body until a couple of days before birth. That's my thought. But I think that as a soul consciousness is formulated in the universe, there's a pull to the earth, you know? And some people say, oh, we decide to come, but how much do we decide?
I mean, based on how much we have control over the world around us in this life, I sincerely doubt we have that much control in the next life. But I think that there are wider things at play. You know, to Dr. Mike's, you know, divine a soul, Dr. Zach had replied, put consciousness and soul on the same plane, which I think is good. I think a soul is just this, you know, the sum total of everything that we are. It's, you know, how we are more than the sum of our parts. You know, there's something that is just extra, something that's just added into that, you know? It's just, and is it eternal? What is eternal? Makes me think about, you know, this talk of destiny and reincarnation, and, you know, Wendy had mentioned, speaking of the thought earlier, nature versus nurture and things like that. You know, everything's a balance. You know, is it nature, is it nurture? It's both, right? Do we have control when we come back, or is it a little bit random? Well, nobody can know or prove it, but I would guess it's a mix of both. And time, you know, time is one of those things. We think about this, mm-hmm. you know, this river of time, but I think a lot of theoretical thought is around the last, you know, decade or two has been coming around to the idea that maybe this universe is spawned from others, and maybe, you know, the matter that goes into a black hole might spawn a universe somewhere else, or, you know, the Big Bang happens and then you have the big crunch where everything collapses back in on itself and forms that, you know, infinite singularity where all matter is formed into a tight point and expands again. And, you know, to me, if you cannot create or destroy energy, only transfer it, then there is no beginning to time. There is no end to time. And what we view as time is just relative to us, you know, relativity. Well,
and I get that in an, again, an esoteric way. But as we're living life, what would have been those points that we may have exited, but from some, you know, gift,
yeah.
if you will,
yeah.
that, oh, I get to live a little longer, you know. And I happen to be one of those people. I mean, I would, like, if it wasn't for, you know, certain things that I have to have, I wouldn't be here, you know.
It's yeah, like, well,
I have to take B12 injections if I don't, my nervous system shuts down.
Well, you probably you know, got me beat. I'm asthmatic, so I have to take breathing stuff. But
I'm just saying that among the, it's kind of become a club in a way that medical intervention extends life beyond a certain what would have been in another time and space, like another point in history. So then it makes me wonder: are we ever, you know, evolving in this historical moment where we're recreating the species, so to speak, that maybe fate isn't as set?
Well,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, but I think we've always kind of been remaking the species, mm-hmm. you know, generation after generation. Although I know what you're directly relating to is, you know, artificial limbs and, you know, hearts mm-hmm. and, you know, the ability to resuscitate people who have been dead for even a few minutes.
Yeah.
It is remarkable. And, you know, that's just, is that predestined itself? Was it destined to get to that point? Because in some chain of probabilities, he had to get to this point so that this next phase would happen. Has it all been predestined? And it's impossible to know. What is predestiny and what is chaos? What is fate and what is random? Because we know both exist. I mean, logically, right? We know that there are some things, and you could say to us, it appears random, but there is random chaos. You drop something on the floor, it's going to go, you know, one way or the other. It's going to break or not break. It's like anybody that's familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, it's like a roll of the 20-sided dice every time, you know? It's a probability and how it works out. So, but there is a sense of destiny in many things. There is a sense of fate. You can almost see the path in a, you know, somewhat linear way. You can kind of chart its course.
Well, I'm also of the mind that, you know, I could use other words, but let's just say stuff happens. You know, it's like all if you didn't have lights at an intersection, what would happen, right?
So we have to work faster.
We have things that manage traffic. We have things that kind of keep us organized in a way. But if we didn't have that organization, then we would have more catastrophes.
Yeah.
And yet, flip side of that is we have wars. So this is where coming down to, and this is just my brain, because I can say that I believe in something, but if it doesn't go this way and that way and then that way and then this way, then something is amiss. And I believe there's something amiss in my theories, because it doesn't make sense when I turn the whole dial every right. which way. Except I do think there's a lot of things that are random, and I do think there's some amount of chaos.
It's the yin-yang, right? It's the fact that we know that paradoxes exist. We know that things that should not exist together coexist. And so we can say that, is there a bit of fate? Yeah. And is there random chaos? Yeah. And is there order that is carved from that random chaos? Yeah. It's like a drop of water going over the centuries from a aquifer or something, kind of doing the stalactites. It goes in that form, and it forms its own path, but you take order from the chaos. It's like shaping something. It's like art.
Yeah, Dr. Edwards says that sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
It's true.
Hey, here's an example. The elderly fellow that lived downstairs in the suite downstairs, last year I happened to come home early, hadn't expected to. I passed by his vehicle parked in the driveway, and he's unresponsive. Mm. Oh, call 911, ambulance. He'd gone into a diabetic shock, etc. So that's, okay, that's one incident. 2 weeks ago, I was home that day. I could hear his car drive up, and I thought, that's it. I got to go out there and talk to him about getting his mail, because he's not picking up his mail in the box. So I stuck my head over, and just as he's opening his door, I said, hey, and he says, I need some help. I think I need an ambulance. Now, I think about that intersection of time, last year and then this year, because he doesn't have any family around here and nobody, so he doesn't carry a cell phone. Very likely, he would have died. And so I think about those kinds of moments, Michael, that, there's, again, I call it that intersection. And maybe it's intuitive on my part, I don't know, but it was odd. In both instances, I ordinarily wouldn't have behaved that way.
Yeah.
So was that just an intuitive thought that said, hey,
thought?
Yeah, go home. Some voice in my head said, excuse me, you're needed.
Right.
Now, for him, he's 85, and I mean, he is in hospital looking now. They are putting him in care, so he's not coming back, and that doesn't entirely surprise me, but I think he's bought time. So I can see it from my point of view of, okay, a little voice in my head saying, go there, but that's my subjective experience, which may or may not be true, but I like to think it is. But from his point of view, his life is now extended again and extended again. And I wonder about that. Like, how and why? It's just an interesting perspective. And, of course, I never have the answer, except that it just motivates me to think on it. And, I see everybody here who's listening, and even in the archives, has had experiences in life where you say, wow, that's really profound, or, geez, I happened here, like my oldest daughter, happened to get on a plane, happened to meet a guy, she's going this way, he's going that way, they exchange phone numbers, and then later get married. Uh-huh. If they wouldn't have been on that plane at exactly the same time. And all these really cool experiences that we have, that we say, oh, we can just revel in the joy of those moments. But there's the flip side about, death,
right,
and endings. And then why this or why that? Was that supposed to happen? Very many years ago, I had a client come to me, and I immediately said, please get your husband to a doctor and get his heart checked. I don't like to talk to people that way, but it was absolutely clear as day. She sure did. And later I happened to meet him, a friend of mine who was into Chinese herbs at that time. He was working out of my house because he was a traveling guy. And that couple came in. he was going to see my friend. But I kept hearing this, you know, the Bonanza theme in my head, you know, and thinking of Haas. So okay. When the guy came out, because he did not believe in psychic stuff at all, he thought we were all kind of wacko. And I said, I got to tell you, there's a man talking to me in my head, and he keeps playing Bonanza over and over again. And I can't get it out of my head. And he looked at me really shocked. And he said, that's my dad. And my son, he always called my son Little Haas. And Bonanza was his favorite show. I said, okay, well, yeah. I'm just passing it along here. You're on the right track. So he did. You know what? He actually did have heart condition. He got treatment, and he was doing great. From that moment on, he had these amazing spiritual realizations. Their relationship improved like crazy. She said they had never been happier. But a year later, he was killed in a car accident. So then my question is,
right.
Was this, you know, period of time, let's say it's a bubble of time, was he meant to leave anyway? I mean, I'm glad for his soul evolution that he could do a lot of work while he was here and they were happy, but is it meant to be, you know?
Well,
that's a question.
It is, and you know, kind of the basis of the Final Destination franchise, which you know, there's nobody my age that can drive behind a lumber truck and you know, not think of it to this day. But you know, it again, it's probably a mix of both. Was it he destined to die later? It's impossible to say because we don't have the full picture of things. But it's interesting, and we're in a world that is vast, and there's so much we don't know that we have to try and make some sense of this to move forward. So we try to get these little glimmers of insight into you know, how things work, and the possibilities are amazing and endless, and it makes for the greatest questions you can ask.
Well, and again, it's just what we started out before the program, Michael, and to kind of, you know, talk about it tonight, and I'm sure everybody here has a story they can relate to, and of synchronicities that are joyful, but also, you know, let's say somebody leaving the earth and you say, what's that about? You know, and that's not a joyful moment. But what is that cosmic, you know, connection? Or is it truly that it's a combination of things that are set into motion amidst a place of chaos? Because the universe is always going to correct itself. You know, if you go left instead of right, well, we got to reconfigure the program, you know, and then it sets it back on a new course.
The Matrix is always trying to get you.
Exactly. I think, who was it? Zach up there said Matrix. I think you mentioned that in the chat. And so Audra's saying, or is it a chance to learn something or do something more after having the initial odd experience? Was it supposed to happen that way? And that's ultimately the question. You know, that's the question I have. And I know emotionally we think of, oh, an 8-day child, you know, zips off the planet. You say, oh, wow, like, oh my God, what the. And I suppose in some ways, emotionally, it's easy for people to want to point fingers and find blame. I don't look at it that way. I look at it from, you know, a bigger perspective. Was, you know, did the driver turn when he wasn't supposed to? Was he not looking? Was the truck speeding? And again, those moments, what I would think of as in the chaos, Michael.
Right.
You know,
and again, you know, what is chaos and what is order? You know, what is something that we turn chaos into order? You know, we talked a little bit about it. We've mentioned Chad about people, maybe they are given different opportunities to learn lessons. So this feels like as good a time as any to, you know, for me to reflect back to a character I thought of when I was like a, you know, oh, maybe I want to be a writer one day kind of thing. I had a, you know, comic superhero-esque type thing that derived from a little bit of Buddhism, Hinduism, and the idea of reincarnation. But the idea is you go through as many lives as you need to learn essential lessons and to, you know, evolve in a way until you hit a certain critical mass And then you just don't die. You have become somewhat of a immortal type, with and you have the ability to kind of shape reality and do some things like that. So in my whole story idea, little outline that I jotted down once upon a time that I thought was interesting and think on from time to time, there would be this, you know, group or society or network of these human beings or beings that have gone through this cycle to the point where they hit that critical mass of knowledge and soulful awareness, where they kind of, you know, the immortals, your Highlander types, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, are we here to learn? And that's one of the tenets of Buddhism, is, you know, the life prior to Buddha being Buddha, he had a life where he did something that was noble and great, and therefore, you know, in the following life, he was set to finally reach that enlightenment.
You see, and I over the years, I've kind of got a different take on things from that perspective, is that the learning is a given. It doesn't matter what incarnation that you're born into. Oh, we're living in a log cabin. Oh, we can start a fire. Oh, right. This is a microwave. And there's always learning with every, and again, everyone has their own ride, their own subjective view. Therefore, what they learn out of it is going to be absolutely unique. So I think that learning always happens. I think we're here to create. And as we come into this place saying, okay, what's my contribution? And, oh, but I'm so busy learning, I can't really create. And I think as we've come in the last 100 years into industrialization and less apprenticeship and less of fewer people taking on work that they would love to do, they're occupied and distracted from their creation. And that's why we love to give people hobbies, right? Because, oh, you can create, get a hobby. Because we're all in this, you know, in the workforce, so to speak, which is contributing to the masses and whatever else that is. So, but I think spiritually, we're not going to let that happen. I think it was, his name will come to me. It was a philosopher who wrote about this back in the 20s and 30s about the fear of industrialization that he had, is that the restlessness of humanity, you know, going into the factory. So the society will have to entertain them. But once they're entertained to death, so to speak, there will be this uprising, and it's really that spiritual restlessness. And that's kind of what lends me Eric Fromm, by the way, F-R-U-M, F-R-O-M, Eric Fromm. Thanks. I can still remember things. That's good. So I think that where we're kind of at in so many ways is not understanding that we're creators.
I get that. And I think it's a good idea, but I have to disagree with the idea that it's industrialization of the modern age that has stifled it, because I don't think working 16 to 18 hours as, you know, a slave of one of the ancient empires is, you know, any better for your creativity. I mean, maybe better for the, you know, Egyptian architect or Anunnaki architect or whomever, but
there's always been slaves.
Exactly. They're always, I mean, it's one of, in every human civilization you look at, there's been slavery, and it's a disgusting thing. But hopefully, and that's one thing I actually would point to, that it, going back in time, I have to apologize for my German Shepherd Husky Mira. She's being a brat. But, I have to say, you go back to a time in human existence where slavery was just no big deal. Yeah, it's just part of life. Yeah, you know, it happens. And it was like that pretty much, you know, everywhere, depending on the time of history you're looking at. But now, it is globally condemned by the society that's in the light. Yeah, there is different kinds of slavery that go on. Yeah, there are migrant workers in many different countries.
But we're enslaved in a different way.
Well, like, if you're saying that I'm enslaved to my iPhone, I think that's a cheap shot.
But it's true, though.
Yes, but I control it, unless its algorithm tells me I should do something different, in which case I'm going to listen.
See, and this is what I'm saying. I think our minds and our spirit is being oppressed from our creativity in other ways, unless we are aware of that and can manage. That's all I'm kind of saying.
Well, I believe that I think you have to get to a balance, right? And that's, you know, what we can always come back to, a balance between extremes. We have
technology is a creation also.
It is. And it's a tool for creation. You know, how many people have created using computers or using digital art or any number of things? Technology includes musical instruments, includes different artistic styles.
Michael, I just spend so much time learning about all this technology that I can't keep up. There's nothing creative for me except it keeps me in touch.
We kind of plateau,
don't we? My neural pathways don't work that way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, you know, I think that when you get into the tech version of keeping up with the Joneses, where you always have to have the latest, greatest, why? You know, is that TV? Okay, how many thousands do we do for 8K over 4K? You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's about that time, Michael. I think it's a great discussion. I know we have had this talk in the past in different ways, but it was really promoted by, you know, is the day of birth and death actually marked? And obviously not, because we can change that so much. But then why does it happen when it does, when it, you know, doesn't really suit our, you know, our way of thinking, and, you know, when we're jarred and, well, you know, shocked into some other awakening of, you know, how temporary life is.
Is destiny a thing like gravity? Is it something that's not even conscious that exerts its will on the world, on the universe, on the existence? Or is it a group of entities that plan this out? Is it ourselves before we come into this life? I'm not going to be able to think about anything else for days. Thanks a lot, Dr. Vicky.
Well, let's get started on these cards.
Absolutely.
We got a whole lot of names going on in
here.
Great conversation. So I think Deb is up first, Michael.
Well,
so
Deb,
what do you got?
I have number 17, reinvention. Let's see. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
You know, I think this could signify you're in a segue of life, Deb, because the two of diamonds, that's indicating keeping in balance. So you are reinventing, and as much as you would like to have it tomorrow, there's a segue of time, an evolution of time. So it's a matter of, no matter where your mind is wanting to go, it's like still staying in the here and now, but creating for where you want to go. And I think that's the message here for you today. That's what I get.
Well, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think we have Dr. Edward next.
We do.
Dr. Edward, I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. That's a good one. What do you have to tell me if we've pulled that one in a little bit? As soon as I... Oh, there. Slid behind my keyboard. Here we go. The good book to reference from. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
I got the Chariot. I love that. That's moving forward in a good and balanced way. So imagine the reins, one is negative, one's positive, but it's moving forward together. So in that being who you are, I get this feeling you feel more grounded, a little more grounded than usual, Edward. And I could be off base here, but feeling centered, and it's fewer distractions, fewer things emotionally distract you. And you're just moving forward in life now, feeling a little more, let's say, in control. Simple as that. Feeling like you have better directorship and more ideas for yourself. I like it.
Good message. Good message. All right. And we have Tabitha up next. Tabitha, I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Excellent card, kind of a foundational card. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
To back that up, Tabitha, interesting, because the Page of Cups comes. Any of the pages are communicators. They're the bridges, you know, and the do no harm, two things come to mind. This is why I'm struggling for a second, is that somebody might come to you with news that you're not fond of. It's like you're not in support of. It's just a reminder to maybe not offer a negative. It's just, you know, nod and shake your head and say, good for you, kind of thing. And, but the flip side, that second thing I was thinking here is that you have some good news to offer out, but you got to watch the timing for how well it's received. So, and I can't explain that any more than how I just said that. So, it's a good communication, but it's watching how things are responded to. So.
Very interesting.
She just said that that's her most pulled card. Interesting. Awesome.
Very interesting. Yeah, I remember we were I think we would jokingly asked for that last week. But, all right. So, Jamil, glad to have you back. I know we missed you last couple weeks. You'll have to check out Wendy's appearance from last week, because Wendy joined us. Thank you so much for that, Wendy. And you had gone over some of the numbers, you know, who's pulled what and how many times. Just as a recap, love to see that Hope was the most pulled card of 2022. But Jamil, tonight you get number 5, Law of Control. Still a good card. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
And the Six of Hearts is in support of that, Jamil, and that has to do with family. So this could well be with family members. You know, it comes to mind, it's like parenting, you know, that kids may want to go off and do different directions and things, but you have no control over that. It's understanding that everybody's going to follow their own path. And so, but it's, I think this is also about some of the people in your life making some changes. And it's just, I think there's a shift going on of what people are doing and changing their minds about their future. And it's one of those reminders to us that, you know, always send that loving energy and say, I'm here if you ever need me. That's really what I glean from that, so I hope it makes sense.
All right. We have Audra next, and Audra, glad to have you. We have number 9, Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
You know, Audra, I think I'm going out on a limb here, but I think you have some love action going on in your life this year. The King of Hearts. Again, well, that limb, Michael, it blows in the wind. I just hope it doesn't break. I feel like there's something blossoming in your life, in relationship-wise, or there's certainly a connection happening. So if you haven't met this individual yet, I'm going to say he's in your sphere of influence and connected somehow. And that's when the thing about empowerment with that, Audra, is you're not going to lose yourself in it this time. So I say this time, but you know, it's you're going to remain who you are. and solid in who you are. So I see hearts coming together. Yep.
I like it. All right, Dr. Mike, tonight you get number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
And the magician is in support of that, Mike. Look, I just had this flash that you're going to challenge someone with a more truthful interpretation of what they're presenting. So, because the magician's all about transformation, it's like an alchemy. And what you have gained in your learning and your journey is I can hear you having this conversation to get closer to the truth rather than just somebody's theory and idea. And you've got it. So it's having a voice in a new way, but having the words to support what you think. That's awesome, I think.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, up next. And Wendy, so glad you joined us tonight. We have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Good card. Something I think you already employ.
Mm. And the Queen of Hearts. And then some. You know, Wendy, you shared with us last week that you know, where you are today is not where you were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And this evolution, and this is saying the end then some. I don't think you've seen anything yet. I think what's occurring to you is another shift, another move forward in yourself, like another aha moment, another other kind of revelation that you have with yourself, because it's all from the heart. And recreating yourself in a way that you want to be, but it's just really organic and natural. So the and then some is you becoming more of your own and then some. That's how I see it.
I think it's good, good angle, good take.
You know, if we can just inject for a second, poor Tabitha. She said that the do no harm keeps coming up. She said, I didn't think I harmed anyone except to myself and the voice in my own head. That could be it. Tabitha, simply is that. Don't punish yourself. The do no harm, do right is doing that for oneself as well as anyone outside the self.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, be kind to yourself. So that the do no harm with the page of hearts. So I just want to clear this up, is that communication. What's your self-talk? And maybe this is a very introspective kind of message for you. And speaking on your own behalf, and don't listen to the dark voices at times. The flip side, it's really easy, and we all have it, where, you know, people really pee us off. And you just have to go quiet and say, what is that?
Yeah.
You know?
It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
Unavoidable.
Yeah, so take it as it means to you, and thanks to Dr. Mike, who says, you know, for his, the truth, the magician is saying his boss tomorrow when he gives his notice. So that's a big moment. So there's going to be a conversation there. Congratulations to you. It means a new chapter is opening. So
very
that's
true.
Good.
All right.
Dr. Jeff.
And Dr. Jeff, tonight I have for you number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. The lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
So, along with communication, the support card here, Jeff, is the Five of Spades. So, if what this is telling me is if you've had a difficult time articulating or having feeling like people have heard you or listened, it's getting better. In other words, there's an improvement. Part of it is you're finding that new language, a new use of language. And I think it's outside. This is more about in the world. So just to be really clear, I want to draw another card. And that's the Four of Hearts, the Four of Cups here, which is, it's more you with the world, not necessarily with your partner or your family, but the outside world, the outer world. I hope that makes sense. But there's opportunity coming here, and your voice will be heard. So, and communications, we all know you're a really good communicator, but you know, I have to say, even for the best of us, we have to find new ways to communicate. Like that word last week that I used all the time, they don't like it anymore, you know?
I'm telling you, I always have to try to figure out new ways to communicate with Dr. Vicky. Oof, it's exhausting.
Oh, jeez. Come on, not that bad.
I poke and prod is for ratings, but go ahead.
So anyway, that's a good message, Jeff. I think that the difficulty or any little emotional stresses you might have felt that way is over. So that's good.
Good, very good. All right, I think our last card of the evening is Dr. Kevin, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
And I have number 16 for you, Kevin, Continuity of Life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow to day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. And I'm sorry, my German Shepherd Husky Mira is poking me in the side with her mouth and staring laser beams into the side of my head. But so, Dr. Vicky, what you got?
Kevin, with that continuity of life and what Michael, you know, just explained about that, it's like success is assured. I kid you not, I pulled the Justice card. Now, if I recall correctly, you had some other challenges that you were working on in the last few weeks that were really important to you and pivotal in your life at this time. This is the assuring message that things are moving along now. Things are moving through. My gut tells me there's like something final yet to be heard or decided, but it's small in comparison to everything else, and then the energy is just going to start moving again. So I think that although this, again, this has been kind of taxing in a way and put pressure on you, it's closing a door now. Like it's nearly over. Continuity of life, fairness, equitability is assured, and you're getting through this, and now you can move forward. That's what I think. Hope it makes sense.
Absolutely. I think you could make that the tagline for this broadcast. Hope it makes sense. But
yeah. Hope it makes sense. I have to, because I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, the topic of tonight, it's kind of, I guess it's no better way to close out this discussion. Jamil had put in the question that will bake your noodle, quote unquote, would you get the same card if you went in a different order? And the interesting thing is, and I put in chat, I have pulled cards. You know, I pulled a card and I think, oh, this is for, you know, so-and-so. And then I realize I'm out of order. And, you know, I'll go to the person who is order and give them that card. So whose card was it? Was it the card that I was thinking about, the person I was thinking about when I drew it? Or was it the person who was in the order that needed to hear it? You know?
I just draw a card after you draw a card, Michael, for the individual. I don't pick more than one card at a time.
Well, but when you're sometimes when you're finishing up, I'll pick a card and I'll think in my head, who is next? And I just grab a card while you're wrapping up and, yeah. And there we go.
Oh, I'm glad Kevin likes my saying, that limb, it blows in the wind. I hope it doesn't break. He said it makes sense. Thank you both. Okay. I'm glad, Kevin. That's good. Yeah. You know, oh, Tabitha's added, did it happen because someone told you it would, or would it have happened anyway? That is a discussion I have had with people time and again.
Yeah.
Especially when I do a reading, I'm not meaning to plant a seed of something to happen. I'm telling what I see is the possibility of what will happen. But it's absolutely possible it's both.
Yeah.
And I think this is why a lot of readers tend to avoid predicting events. Because, you know, they, if they're wrong, that's really a bad reputation.
Right.
They tend to focus more on emotional or spiritual evolution as opposed to, you know, actually events that are happening in somebody's life. So, I mean, could we be planting seeds? Somebody told you it would happen, you know, or would it have happened anyway? That's where it's really important to stay as objective as you can, take notes of your own,
yeah.
You know, look back and see if there's some kind of, you know, thread of truthfulness there. Because it's still interpreted through your eyes and your life.
You yeah, know? Absolutely. And it's just, you know, I think often if we have an apocalypse, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's going to be because you have a cult or, you know, a group of people that are obsessed with the idea of apocalypse. You know, there have been plenty of groups that are obsessed with the apocalypse. There are plenty of, right, you know, extreme religious Christian factions that want to promote Israel simply for the sake that they believe it fulfills a prophecy of Armageddon. ISIS was famous as being the Islamic State, or International Islamic State, I can't recall the acronym ISIS, but I do recall reading that and learning about them, wherein a lot of what they believed they were doing is preparing the world for the apocalypse to bring it about. So, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies, I hate them. I hate them
so
much.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Zach has just written, sometimes predicting the unpredictability of human behavior is harder than predicting the weather. Now, one thing I will say, there's certain things that are, you don't have to be psychic to see. If somebody's in a bad relationship, they say this, there's likely that. You know, when they do this, there are patterns.
Yeah.
People have behavioral patterns. That's not being psychic. That's kind of being the sounding board and the spiritual counselor, if you will, in our business. So, unpredictability. I think what's so interesting to me in the past couple of years is the irrationality of human behavior. Because it's not rational.
It's not rational when you think about things in a, you know, kind of mathematical way, but it's rational when you think about things in an emotional way.
Because it's not rational to go out and buy a whack of toilet paper, Michael.
It gives them comfort.
I know, and this, you know, the fears cause people into irrational behaviors.
Sometimes when I'm feeling afraid, I, you know, pull the blanket closer around me. You know, that doesn't have any practical effect. But
are you buying a truckload of toilet paper?
Not that you know.
<I know>. No, you just adopt more dogs.
Yeah, the person I work with at the rescue, they say, oh, you can convert your garage into a dog room. You can have another fourth or fifth dog, you're fine.
No. No. But I agree with you, Zach. Predicting human behavior sometimes is quite difficult there. I know anybody who works, especially somebody like Wendy and all of you who work in customer service or, you know, dealing with the public, and I have a part-time job, I deal with the public, it's really quite bizarre at times. And I go, I have no idea what this species is. Like, this is crazy. You know, because the behavior is just not even...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all, so...
Very true. Very true. And
but this has been another great conversation. I appreciate this.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a good one. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that that we can have these kind of conversations, even, you know, sometimes, you know, somewhat off the cuff, sometimes planned with improvising, is it's just, it's fun to talk about. And I think we've been lucky to stumble into a group or draw a group or, you know, have everybody come together where we all enjoy talking about the same stuff, you know.
So we do.
For me, this is like getting together with friends and just having an interesting conversation. You know, it doesn't feel like work. It's not work. It's pleasure. It's enjoyment. It's entertainment in that way of it. It's fun. It's one of the funnest things I do all week.
It is for me too.
Well, with that, I will say thank you to everybody. Thank you, Dr. Vicky, for a fascinating discussion. You know, I don't think I can even add any more to that other than the fact that I'm going to be thinking about probabilities and alternate realities for a few days.
Yeah, but, me too.
Mm. Yes.
You know,
and Matrix quotes. Thanks, chat.
And saying this to Tabitha and everybody else, be kind to yourself.
Yes.
And please, just be kind. It's not even a better do something kind to yourself, for yourself. It's just be kind. You know,
like, universal.
Give yourself a break, because, man, we're all just people trying to figure this out. You know, if you live by your basic ethics and you know who you are, you can't go wrong. It doesn't mean you won't make an error from time to time. But as Dr. Kelly would clearly say, that's perfection at work. You know it, you change it. It's perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, there is nothing better to go out on than that. That's such a wonderfully put. So I'll look forward to, you know, seeing y'all in chat and having you join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.